recorded. I'm supposed to record it. And, yeah, that's what I mean. I'm not saying that I want to speak either, but I don't want to record it. So most of you probably know that the camp was very, very desperate for a speaker this year because the speaker, for some reason, had to cancel. And so they were looking at a smaller women's retreat, they thought. They told me maybe 25 ladies had signed up, and I was like, oh, they're like an informal devotional. We'll be on the, probably on the porch at Ashbrook Hall outside, you know, just an informal thing with some ladies. So I was picturing something kind of like this, which I still don't, it's not really my thing, but I'm like, well, okay. You know, I thought about it. I'm like, that's something I could do to help them out. Well, then I found myself on Friday night, the night of the retreat, standing from the pulpit in the chapel, if you've been out there, looking out over all of those pews, and there was over 70 ladies that ended up coming.
That's a big building. You were up there?
Yeah. It was like, hello out there. Yeah. So I sort of got tricked into that, but...
So how did it go?
So when they asked me to do this, I had started this new job, and then I had all of this stuff come up. Like, long story short, I just felt like I could have used so much more time. And I was, that final week, I had like an aunt come from North Carolina, you know, the most random things, you know, to stay two nights, and we got a new van that week that took a whole evening. So I was starting, you know, I struggled with being anxious about it. And so I was practicing what I was going to be preaching and just a lot of committing it to the Lord and doing what I could and practicing deep breathing, you know. So I was pretty nervous that whole week. And then Friday night, see, I didn't speak until it was like 8:45 that night, you know. And that was a Friday night after, you know, a long day. And but when I was sitting in there in the chapel, I was sitting up on that front pew looking around. No familiar faces, by the way. No, there are some of my other friends there. And, but the Lord just gave me peace at that hour, and then I just couldn't wait for it to be my turn. I think mostly because I just wanted to, you know, I prepared, and I was just, like, ready to do it. And so when they finally got to me, you know, I just... bolted. I felt like I was just bolting out of my pew and raced up there and just, I just did my best and I left it there as like, Lord, I did what I could. And so now I don't feel like I have anything left. I felt like I did it once and now, but so we'll go through it again tonight, but blow some of the dust off. I did change a couple things, so hopefully we can get some discussion a little bit, so it's not. It's a little more interactive, but so yeah, the Lord really did help me, and that was a big praise because I still didn't feel like I did, you know, like a great job, but at least I got through it, you know, and I didn't get up there and just too scared to, you know, to talk. So I even walked around this. I even walked to the side once in a while, you know. While I was doing it, I was like, wow, I'm even walking to the side.
You haven't been watching Joyce Meyer,
have you? I should have been watching some people. Yeah, so I was like, the Lord must definitely be helping me. Heather's mom was there, so that's one familiar face.
That's where you didn't go.
I should put a plug in for the women's retreat. If you've never gone, I mean, it really is fun, and usually they do have a decent speaker, and it's just, it's hard to get away because we live so close. I feel like it is, because it's like I try to do the retreat plus everything I usually do instead of being like, I'm just taking Friday night off, I'm taking, you know, Saturday off to do this. But every time I do that, it's such a good time for me. So, and I hang out with this group, and they're the ones that try to do everything on the checklist at camp. So we're like, you know, doing canoe races, doing the rope bridge, you know, but they also have seminars, and they have like a craft session optional, and really good food, and the food has, I'm serious, the food has, since they have, well, I'm not saying why it's better, but the lady that does it now, she's more of a, I don't know, gourmet-ish. It's just really fresh and good. Yes, Mr. Haywood was there in the dishwasher. Hey, I cannot diss that because that's a different story, but I one time asked me about the punch for the Finneran's wedding sometime, and I got the fridge confused with the freezer. And
no, I meant like at his house.
Oh, at his house. So they meant at camp. Oh. No, he was there working in the kitchen at camp. Yeah.
First of all, that fell over when they told me, and
I'm
sure someone took a picture.
Oh! So he's learning some life skills. Well, the theme was pressing on, and they gave me the theme, they gave me the verses, so if you want to turn to Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, so it's very familiar, and it's really a very basic, simple talk that I gave. So it's nothing that's going to be, you know, nothing you've never heard before.
1 through 3.
Yeah, that's where we will be. And so the title that I gave my section was Let Us Run, Having a Faith That Endures. And I don't know if I heard someone saying their title is Let Us Run, I probably would think twice before going, because running is not something I really like to do because it's hard. It can be painful, and it reminds you of your weaknesses, and it's takes a lot of commitment and perseverance and endurance. But I have run a few races in my life because I grew up in a small town in Kansas, and if you basically were able to walk, you had to participate in all the sports that were available at our little public school. So that was volleyball, basketball, track and field. So one race in particular I ran, it was in eighth grade, and I actually came in third out of three. Thank you. Yeah. I think at the camp retreat they might have clapped after I said I came in third. I think they might have even clapped for me. Like, you guys were like, oh yeah, that's really good. I thought it was funny when they did that. Anyway, but so maybe you actually enjoy lacing up your sneakers, but whether you do or not, there is a race we are all called to run, and that's how the author of Hebrews describes our Christian life in this passage. A foot race. So I'd like to think about the context a little bit. And in Hebrews, we have the, we don't know who the author is, but he's writing to the Jews that had been converted. And they were starting to struggle with some things because they were coming up against some persecution and I think it talks about their homes being plundered and some of them have been put in jail. So their race was getting a little bit rocky, and Hebrews tells us that some of them were starting to drift from the things they learned, and I wrote them in here. I forget where it is. And they were starting to forsake meeting together. You know that famous verse? Well, that was these people. They were starting to forsake the assembling of themselves. So they were just starting to drift from this faith that they'd once been so passionate about. But that's where the author of Hebrews comes in, whoever he is, and he comes alongside them, and he reminds them in the first chapters of Hebrews up to about this point of how precious their faith is and how much better Jesus is, you know, just showing them that this race is worth running. Don't forsake it. And then in Hebrews 11, which we're all familiar with, the Hall of Faith, Hall of Fame, Hall of Faithers, that's like, you know, a huge pep talk because he's going through all of these people that they would have known about and, you know, how their lives were all different kinds of people that he lists, but they all went through various trials and difficult circumstances, but they all remained faithful and they weren't perfect, but the Bible and God commends them for their faith that endured. So he's saying, these people have done this, you know. They've gone through the hard things, really hard things. Some of them were sawn in two, and they don't have half the revelation that the people had now. They were looking ahead to the promise. We're looking back, and yet they remained faithful, and they finished their race, and they did well. And so he's encouraging them to run this race. They have hope to run this race, not to quit, not to throw in their towel, you know, or just lie down on the track and give up. And so then we get to Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, and that's when he kind of gives them this, I picture like a coach getting out his clipboard, you know, and they draw like the X's and the O's and, you know, all the fancy stuff that they, and the players are like, okay, yeah. And but he's giving them now like the plan, and this is what you need to do. Here's some encouragement for you to how to stay in the race, how to not quit, how to press on, which was the theme of the retreat. So that was just the introduction. Only 20 more pages to go here. And it is a need, because life does get hard. We do need to be reminded of how to stay strong. And you think, oh, I wouldn't fall away like that, you know. But the Bible says, take heed, ye who think you stand, lest you fall. And while I was kind of preparing for this, there was the story about the pastor's wife in Kansas who, I don't know if anyone heard about this, but they found her. She had driven her car into a storage unit or something and committed suicide, leaving behind two young kids, you know, and her pastor husband. And for whatever reason, you know, she just felt like she couldn't go on. It was just hopeless, you know. So how do we have a faith that does stay strong even when life gets so hard? And I think in these two verses, I'm just going to pull out two things from them that we can remind ourselves of tonight. So I will, we can read those verses now, and then we will pick up from there. So Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, and that's the, all of those people in Hebrews 11 who are, their lives are cheering us on. What they've done, we can look back and read about it, and they're like, you can do it, you know. So if we have all of these people cheering for us, it's not like they're looking at us from heaven, but just the testimony of their lives, encouraging us on. So since we have that, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So first, the first point that I'd like to make, that one thing we can do to endure is to, we find that in verse 1 there, after the encouragement about the people cheering us on, we are to lay aside every weight and sin which so easily trips us up. That's the first thing. So, I told you about that race I ran in 8th grade, and I came in 3rd, but out of 3, thank you for bringing that up. I didn't tell you this part. On the final lap, so it was a 1,600-meter run, because if you're not strong enough to throw far, yes, thank you. If you're not strong enough to throw far, and you're not fast enough to do the sprints, you can't jump, then they stick you in the long-distance races. So that was me running the 1,600-meter. Well, it was the last lap around the track, 8th grade, and to my horror, I feel the laces on my shoe loosening. I think it was my left shoe. And, you know, looser and looser. So I'm using all of my toe strength to try to hold this shoe on, you know, while I'm trying to run and just finish. And so finally, I just, like, forget this. So I kick it off, you know. I kick it into the field, the football field on the inside of the track. And I finish that race, you know, just wearing my sock. And I could have won it. No, the other runners were already across the line. Yeah, so.
Well, God made it look good for you then.
Yeah.
Bet you
was that the blame? Yeah. I had an excuse. No, I finished. And
I
kicked off that weight, see, that was holding me back.
Yeah.
And then I was so much more free to run without the distraction of that loose shoe. And in the ancient times, they had races too, and the ancient runners also knew about running light. And in fact, as I was doing a little bit of research on them, it appears that they may have even ran with nothing on at all. To try to streamline, you know, as fast as possible. No long flowing robes, no loose shoelaces for them. So that is a bit of the picture here, not the scantily clad runners, but just the idea that the Christian can have things in their lives that are weighing them down, that are distracting them, that are making them trying to go through their Christian life with like running in a long flowing robe, you know, around your feet. And it's not the race or the difficulties on the race that's the problem here. It's the, what does it say, the weights and sins that are in our own lives, which I think is interesting. It's not the trials that are tripping us up. It's something else. So what are these weights and sins? And the words here, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Studying those, they don't really mean anything special. Just sin is just a broad word for sin in this verse. Just anything, any attitude or action that is not in line with our calling as children of God. And in Hebrews, the author often does address the sin of unbelief. But here, I think it's safe to say it's really talking about any sin in our lives. And then the weights maybe aren't necessarily things that are sin, that are like clearly wrong, but just things that are hindering us somehow from doing our best for the Lord. And those probably are going to be different for each person. So here's my first discussion question. In times of trial, like they were in, like some of us may be in, what sins are we particularly tempted to be maybe tripped up by or laden down with? And how do they trip us up? Particularly maybe when you're going through something difficult, what sins maybe are you more prone to be tempted to?
Are we supposed to answer?
Yeah, you can answer.
Going counterclockwise.
Yep.
That's good.
Fear, can you think of a verse that would go along with that? Or maybe the opposite of it, like, okay, I'll just
give... Yeah, Joshua, chapter 1.
Okay, yep.
How many times did you tell Joshua, do not fear.
Be not afraid.
Yeah, don't look to the left or the right. Be courageous.
Yeah, and Joshua was facing pretty tough things ahead for him.
Yeah, he'd seen the Israelites turn their back on Moses and God. And he had a lot to carry after Moses.
Yeah. Fear, yep. And that's probably what these people were afraid of, too. Afraid they'd seen people being put in jail, afraid of for their families. What's another sin that we're tempted to do when maybe we're going through something hard? That's all right.
Blame somebody else for your hardship.
Mm-hmm.
How about revenge? You always want to get back when something happens.
I don't have that problem.
It's kind of bitterness, too.
I thank God for that, because I really rest in the fact that he says, vengeance is mine. And I'm good with that, you know? Take care of that, you know? And whatever he does, I might not know what it is, but it's the best probably for that person. You know, and I rest in that. I mean, I stumble over a lot of other things, but I rest in that one.
I think the sin is kind of particular. We each have our own maybe weaknesses, and like for some people, just worry will just grip your heart, you know, or just...
I worry about.
Yeah.
If you're not one thing, it's another, and it's like, come on, mine, get
with me,
you know?
Go through the whole gamut. And unbelief in God's goodness, or like you even prayed God's sovereignty, you know, submission to his will and his ways. Yeah, good. in the retreat, I also talked about guilt, and I kind of included the gospel here because a lot of people would be struggling with the weight of guilt, you know, as we did before we were saved. And even after, sometimes people struggle with guilt and not, I mean, it's hard, yeah, to rest in the promises of God about his forgiveness and his moving our sins, you know, as far away as east is from the west. And so, and these sins will eventually steer us off the course and out of a life of faithfulness to God if we let them. They will entangle our feet and make us fall. So let's keep going here. So the first thing was we need to recognize these sins, lay aside the weights and sins, and then the second one is in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So the second one is we need to look to Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sitting down now at the right hand of the throne of God. And we're to consider him who went through so much from sinners who he had come to save. Consider what he's gone through, lest we faint away, become weary, and be discouraged in our souls. So the word here, look to Jesus. It has two parts to it. It's the idea of you have to look away of something and look to something else. To look to Jesus, we have to look away from other things. We have to look away from what is worrying us, from what is angering us, even from goals that are starting to control us. And we have to take our eyes off of those things and, you know, purposefully turn them to the Lord. And there's a lot of ways that we intentionally do this. We look to Jesus by spending time alone with him in prayer. This past summer, I kind of discovered the value of a good prayer walk, where I would just, if I got the chance, just take just the dogs and go for a walk and actually pray out loud. And something about that was just really good, because it just bearing your soul to him that way, looking to him, casting.
Can I give a test?
Yeah, go ahead.
Confirmation of that. Years ago, I had a friend, and she got cancer, and I invited her, and I would go to her house, and then sometimes she'd come to my house, and we would walk, and we made a pact, and we stuck to it, that we prayed, and we praised God, and she's still alive today, you know. And I think, you know, that helped her, you know, praising God. And walking, and we prayed out loud, and, you know, we prayed the word, and we thanked him, and it was a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah, there's something about praying out loud. I'm not saying you have to do that, but it's just, it's easier to focus and to, to focus, really, for me, not be so distracted. We look to Jesus by meditating on his word. And that can be difficult, very difficult, you know. And it's not just about reading it and being done for the day. I think the Bible really emphasizes meditating on it, which may mean you don't really read all that much that day if you don't, you know, or any at all. But it's the idea of having it in your mind and daily or moment by moment, really. You can use Bible reading plans. You can listen to the Bible. Some people like to journal. You can use sacred music to help focus your thoughts on the Lord. And, you know, because music, sometimes you can, that's a lot easier to remember sometimes. It kind of just is on autopilot. Your brain just plays, you know, if you have some good lyrics that you can think about during the day. But whatever it is, do what you need to do and take time away from, look away from your problems, stop yourself, and force yourself then to look onto something much better, to look to Jesus. I remember vacationing with my family when I was in, I don't know what I was in, but we were going out to Colorado, and we were going through the Big Thompson Canyon, I think it was, and so we were surrounded by this beautiful landforms, and, you know, we were little, but we were still like, wow, this is so cool. And this, you know, this big, we were in this huge van that we had, and these curvy roads and these really steep formations on each side. And then my mom was in the front seat next to me. You know, and where did she have her head buried? You know, in a good Christian romance novel or something. No, I don't know what it was, Mom. But she was reading a book, you know. And so we gave her such a hard time. I can't remember, but I'm sure I give her the benefit of doubt that she would have, you know, put her book down and then enjoyed the beauty. But that was just an illustration of how it's so easy to be engrossed in the wrong thing, you know, when we need to take our eyes off of that and put it onto something else. And friends encourage us to do that. So that's good. In the same way, we're going to miss the beauty and help of Jesus if we don't take our gaze off of our problems and the things of this world. Discussion question. Okay, so this kind of goes into the rest of the verse. You can use it. Okay, so we're looking at Jesus. We've taken our eyes off of our problems, at least for a little bit. And then what do we see then when we look at Jesus? Maybe how is he described, or what did he endure? Why should we look to him, I guess, is my question. Kind of obvious, but also it's right here for us, so it's important.
Sometimes that's what I'm worried about, like the fear, like she says, going through it, and maybe God wants you to go through it even longer, and you just pray for a speedy, we want it right now, but God says no, you know, a little bit longer, and sometimes that's hard, very hard, when you have to wait, and you don't want to go through it.
So Jesus, when he was going through the hard things, considering what he did, what kept him motivated to keep the right attitude and keep going through it?
I would have to say it was his love. No, it was his love. And he had to be obedient. I thank him every morning in the shower. I say the Lord's Prayer, but I add a lot to it, that he stuck it out. And I thank all three of them. They didn't give up on mankind. They didn't give up on me. I don't know how. But he didn't. And I'm grateful. Every morning. And it, when I really, really think about what he went through, and he did it for all of us, and if it would have been just me, he would have done it. And I'm grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't deserve it. But they loved us unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? I don't, you know, I'm not to the point, I love Jesus, but if I had to fight for my life against another human, I don't know if I could be like Stephen yet. I don't know if I'm there. You know, or Stephen, you know, I self-defense, I think, I don't know. You know, I'm not to the point where I could say, like Jesus and he did, you know, lay this sin not upon him, right? You know, talk about not revenge. I'd be going, revenge me, Lord, revenge me. You know? Quick! That's a joke. But
yeah.
I don't know. I would have to fight back, I think. I'm not to the point where I think about those things a lot. If someone tried to take my life, I'd have to fight back. You know, I'm not to the...
something to my grandchildren. I don't. But we do need
And so, yeah, so it would be really hard. We keep our eyes upon the Lord. And like this verse says, Jesus did it for his love for us. They think that's evident in Scripture, all of Scripture. That's why he did it. And it says here, for the joy that was set before him, because he knew that what he was doing was accomplishing something, right? It was redeeming us. And even still, the Bible says that, you know, they rejoice when even one person is saved. And he just saw what he was going through had a purpose and was God's plan for him, and, you know, was accomplishing something. So that's what we can remember too, that when we're going through things, it's not just for no reason, and we might not know the reason. And also, I think what you said, not knowing how you would react in a certain situation. Yeah, I mean, we don't really, but God gives you grace when you need it, I think. And when you look back at your life, it's like you can see hard things you never thought you would have to face. Or maybe you did, but, you know, you didn't know. And looking ahead, you'd be like, I hope that never happens to me. But then when it does happen to you, you find that God's right there with you. And it's not maybe as bad as you're anticipating in some ways, because...
on the Lord more, seek out the Lord more. And so sometimes if our life is too comfy, not that we don't love the Lord, but we, you know, he's safe over here because everything's going great and good. And, you know, I know he's there and I can pray for to him if I need him, you know. But then when you really go through trials, it's like, I need him every hour. I need, you know, and it makes us seek him out.
On the other side of that, the joy when you get to look back and know that you conquered something.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He gave you strength to get through it. Yeah. I'm not sure exactly how this fits, but when my mom was in the middle of her cancer treatments, and I'd always be tempted to like type or say, God is so good, because she was getting better. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, if she wasn't getting better, that would still be my reply. I mean, I just was constantly rethinking that in my head. It's like, it's not dependent on the outcome of my mom's health, you know, but... yeah. Anything else anyone wanted to share on those lines? Jesus was able to endure his suffering because he knew it was accomplishing something wonderful in the plan of God. Hebrews 11 is filled with the men and women who remained faithful to God despite the difficulties of life, because they were looking forward to what was to come, and they had their eyes on the promises of God. And their lives cheer us on, saying that we can do the same thing. And I was trying to think of a modern-day example that, well, this was kind of for the retreat. I was trying to think of someone that maybe, if, you know, a number of the ladies would know. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with Patch the Pirate. They do the children's music ministry. They do a lot of music for children. Ron and Shelley Hamilton, and... so they're probably in their 60s, late 60s maybe, I guess. But Ron has, in the past year maybe, been diagnosed with dementia now, and he doesn't have any memory, you know, long-term, or is it long-term or short-term? Whatever, short-term, yeah, I don't know he remembers much either way, actually. But she posts on Facebook, my friend told me about it, and she just... her experience, and she's just one that is so real with the struggles and even her own sin, like laying aside the weights, you know, the things that she knows that aren't right in her own heart, but then also looking, pointing herself and pointing us to Jesus. And she posts on Facebook every day. She posts something. She always writes really nice things, good things to read, but it's just a modern example of someone who I think has a faith that's going to endure, that is enduring, because she's doing what these verses say of, you know, being careful about what's in her own heart and then also keeping her eyes on the Lord. So she can finish well. And of course, the verse that came to my mind was Paul. He says, and I'll just finish with this verse. I'm sure that all of you ladies here and me, when we come to the end of our life, the end of our race, we want to be able to say, like Paul did, that we have fought the good fight, we have finished our race, and we have kept the faith. Maybe I'll close in prayer, and then we can do the prayer part. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the trials that do come into our lives, that you allow through your loving hands to come into our lives. And we thank you for them because your word tells us to give thanks in all circumstances. And also because we know that you have our best in mind, our spiritual best in mind, and that we're to count it joy knowing that you are using them to do a good work in our hearts so that we can please you better and even have the opportunity to be a light for you. So we just pray for each, for ourselves and for the other ladies in our church and our families, that you would just give us grace for whatever lies ahead or whatever we're going through now. I know a lot of ladies are going through some pretty hard times now, even health or family stuff or whatever it may be, job situations. Just help them to be faithful, to have the faith that endures, and to keep looking to you, and help us to be praying for each other and encouraging each other. And we just thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.